on aiming to win. How many have ever in your life aimed to lose? Now, I'm not saying you're a loser or anything, but have you ever aimed hoping to lose? Okay, we aim to win. And that is going to be what the Lord is asking us to do, to get really focused today and aim to win. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you right now that we can choose to be mindful of your word and mindful of your voice and mindful of what you speak to us, or we can turn it off. We do have a choice, and I'm just praying by your Holy Spirit that you would just turn our hearts towards you, keep us focused, remove hindrances, and Father, may we just be doers and not hearers only of your precious word today. Thank you, Father, that you have begun a good work in us, and you plan on finishing that good work, and it will be for the honor and the glory of your name only. And everybody said, amen. Pastor has been doing a series in the book of Corinthians for quite some time, and it's been very deep and very rich, and I am just really excited this morning that as I have this opportunity to speak to you this morning, it is in a passage right where he was leaving off in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I think we have a slide, Leonard. Do we have a slide that's going to go on that is going to actually punctuate? There he is. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Striving, aiming to win. This is one of my life verses. And so I'm very excited to get to unpack this with you this morning. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. I'm going to read out of the Voice version. We all know that when there's a race, all the runners bolt for the finish line, but only one takes the prize. Beloved, when you run, run for the prize. Athletes in training are very strict with themselves, exercising self-control over their desires. And what for? A wreath, a prize, a trophy, a ribbon, status. But soon those things wither and are crushed or simply are forgotten. That is not our race. We run for the crown that we will wear for eternity. So Paul says, I don't run aimlessly. I don't let my eyes drift off the finish line. When I box, I don't throw punches in the air. He said, I discipline my body and I make it my slave. So after all of this, after I have brought the gospel to other people, witnessed, shared, invited, bumper sticker, cross. After I've done all that other stuff, I still will be qualified and not disqualified to win the prize. Okay. So do we have any high school or college athletes in the room? Okay. So, honey, you were a high school athlete. You were a wrestler. Any basketball players? Any football players? Okay. Volleyball, tennis, sports. Okay. Anybody like to watch sports on TV? I'll get a couple more hands. Okay. Seriously. Okay. You do like to watch sports. You have your favorite teams. I know you do. Okay. So in sports, the athlete is aiming for a goal or an end zone or a basket or a little hole in the ground, as in golfing, or if you're in a league, maybe pins at the end of an alley, okay? There's usually a goal, something you're aiming towards, yes? This isn't going to be rock science today. I'm keeping it like, okay? We can all wrap our brain around that, okay? But I wanted to unpack the fact that aiming can be far more than just going after a goal in sports, a basket. It's far more than that, and we're going to apply it this morning using this example. You guys know that I love studying words, and this word, I looked up what synonyms What words are like the word aim? And it was really good. I unpacked a lot of good ones. So here, think about this. If you're aiming for something, if you have a goal, if you're aiming, you have your mind set, then you have desire. You have direction. If you're aiming, you have direction. You're not just like, oh, where am I going? Where am I? You have direction. You have intent. I have intentions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this done. You have objective. And some of you have been saying, what's my purpose? What's my purpose? Well, I'll tell you what. When you are aiming, you have purpose. Okay? You have a target. Okay? You have ambition. Some of us have lost ambition because we're not aiming at anything. We're just like existing. We're just taking up space and breathing. We have lost the whole heart of aiming towards the goal. You have a plan. You have aspiration. You've got a course. Okay, if you're aiming for Salem today, are you going to be going east? That is not a trick question either. If you're going to Salem, will you be going east? No, you're going to be going west. If you're going to Portland, you're going to be going north. Eugene, you're going to go south. Okay, when you have a goal, when you have a target, and you're aiming for that, you have a direction. Okay? If it's potluck Sunday, you're going to be going towards the kitchen, the family center. You're going to follow your nose. You have a direction. You have a purpose. You have an intention. Okay, so you get that. So we're heading in a direction. There's a design. There's a course. We know where we're heading when we're aiming. Okay? It's very intentional. So I wanted to break this down to our everyday life and just think about in the course of one day, in the course of our life, one day of our life, do we ever aim at anything? So I'm going to ask you this morning, when you got out of bed, did anybody aim for the shower? I see two hands. Yes, I'm going to be standing by you. Okay. Okay, the rest of you hopefully used a lot of deodorant, something like that. Okay, so when you put on your shirt or your jacket or your top, did you aim your arm into the sleeve? Or did you aim it into the hole at the top, the neck? Did you aim deliberately? Okay, did you? I almost showed this video because it is a hoot. There's a video on YouTube of a man that was putting on, he thought he was putting on his sweatshirt, so we got a hole and two arms, right? A hole and two arms. But instead of grabbing his sweatshirt, he grabbed his sweatpants. Are you tracking? What would be missing in the sweatpants? Okay, it is, I mean, laugh out loud, fall on the floor. He is trying and trying, and he gets the sleeves on, which are really the legs of the sweats, and he can't get his head in the hole because there is no hole. And he goes back and forth, and he starts over, and he gathers up the sleeve, and he puts it on, and he gets it, and then he tries to put the pants on his head. Do you ever feel like you're doing that? You're not getting anywhere, okay? You got to aim intentionally, okay? You put your pants on, you aim. You don't put them on backwards. You make sure the right's going on the right and the left's going on the left. Think about how many times you intentionally aim every day. Okay. And when you eat, you aim for your ear, right? Some people look like they kind of miss it. You know, they wear the bib because they, okay, yeah, honey, I saw that hand. It's true. But you aim, yes? Fork, and when you're teaching someone to eat, you know, aim for the mouth. Okay, good. So when you sat down this morning, did you aim for the bench, the chair, or the floor? Okay, seems elementary, but stick with me, you guys. I want you to think of how many times in the day you are intentional about almost everything you do. You're aiming, you're focused. When you started your car today, you took your keys and you aimed for the windshield wipers. Because you knew you could just start your car just like that. If you just could get the connection between windshield wipers and zzzz. Did you aim for the ignition? And if you've ever done that in the dark and you don't have the little light, it takes a little navigating to get the key and turn. Okay, you aimed. When you drove here this morning, you had a choice. You could aim for Pastor Denny's lawn or the parking lot. Thank you for aiming, and you aimed for what was in between the two white lines, an empty space for your vehicle. You did. You all aimed for your parking place intentionally. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, when you got into this room this morning, a few of you have mixed it up today, you're messing with me, but most of you aimed for your seat. Look around, see? The honest ones know you have within, you know, a pew or two. I could close my eyes and I could tell you who's missing today because they're not in their spot. You were intentional. You've gotten comfortable. Now, a few of you are getting out of your comfort zone and you're mixing it up and whatnot, but most of you aim for where you're sitting right now. Is that not right? It's a true story. Yes, we're intentional. I was at Ross shopping the other day getting groceries, and I attempted to go out the exit. Has anybody ever tried to go out the exit and in the wrong door? So I attempted to go out the inn. That's what I meant to say. I went, and it wouldn't open. The entrance wouldn't open when I was trying to exit. And so one of the little workers came and he goes, "Oh, here." And he puts his little hand, he does some little magic, and he did this, and he did, and they opened. But normally you don't get into exit doors and you don't go out of entrance doors. Am I right? When you see the exit, you know you're leaving. When you see the entrance, you know you're entering. Okay, you guys are amazing. You're amazing. So here's another thing I did this week. I'm going to the mail to get my mail. I have a key. I have a church one and a personal one. Okay? You got to have the right key for the right box, and you also got to pick the right box. I picked the box right next to it. I'm like, "Oh, oops." Okay. I was intentionally needed to aim at the right box with the right key to get my mail, for crying out loud. Intentional, on purpose. Okay, and I just gotta see, who else in the room would ever do this? Have you ever taken your remote control and the box that you point to is over here, but you've actually pointed at the TV instead of where the control is, okay? I've done that when we've had women here and we've done things on the big screen and I'm trying to get it to start and the controls are over here. You've pointed the remote at the wrong place. You've got to point it at where the controls are. And so often, we're pointing but not where it's making a difference, not where there's making a connection. How many have ever driven up to a bank teller? You've done the drive up? Anybody drive up? You see your hands. Some of you aren't brave enough yet. Okay, well, I'll tell you one. The day you get up the nerve to do this, you're going to find the skinniest lane. I'm telling you, you've got to watch your mirrors, it seems like. When that thing comes out, you've got to be intentional, aiming so that you don't crash into any of the equipment or any of the sidewalk. You've got to be intentional. All right, you guys are doing great. Stay with me. You have got to go to the 10th floor to visit somebody. And I'm going to see everyone participating, okay? Wake your neighbor up. Okay, you're going to the 10th floor. Are you aiming for the elevator or the stairs? Elevator people, okay? Stairs. Okay, there you go. You're intentional. You think about it. "Oh, this would be a good time to get my 10,000 steps in, okay? I'm going to do this. Or I'm tired today, and I know I would never make it. I'm going to take the elevator." You choose, okay? Speaking of potluck, this has honestly happened. I've seen and heard. Some of you aim for the biggest piece of pie at the potluck, and I better not beat you to it. Okay? You know you see that corner piece of cake that has all the frosting, and you have your heart set on it, and you want it? You have intention? All right. One last thing. Your car's dirty. Do you aim for your garden hose or car wash? Let's see garden hose. Car wash. Hands down, car wash. You aim at something. That is our everyday life. And when you start thinking about how intentional you are about aiming on just the mundane, everyday life things, you will see, where would we be if we were not intentional? If we didn't have goals, if we didn't have purpose, if we just let it happen, we'd look pretty silly, we'd dress pretty silly, we'd have food all over us, we probably wouldn't make it here because we'd still be trying to figure out where on earth you put a key when you start your car. Okay, it's intentional. At the end of today, When you are tired, what are you going to aim for? Couch, bed. Okay, somewhere to lay your head on purpose. You're not going to go outside. You're not going to be on the picnic table. You're not going to crawl on the top of the washing machine. You're going to find your place of rest on purpose. Okay. I want to read our passage once again out of the Message version. Eugene Peterson does a great job of just unpacking this a little bit deeper for us. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. He said, "You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race. Everyone runs. One wins. Run to win. All good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I am giving it everything I've got." The prize that he's talking about is the crown that will last forever. And it refers to the victory that we have because of Jesus Christ. The precious goal is our Christian life and our inheritance, our salvation. That is the prize. Paul illustrates this principle. He said, if we fail to exercise self-control, self-denial, and love in our relationships with others, he said, we ourselves will be disqualified. We will be rejected by God. He says, no sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everybody else all about it, and then missing it myself. I myself am disqualified. I think of that more than once. I want you to know, beloved, it matters. Am I just talking the talk or am I walking the talk? In the original Greek, the New Testament was written in, disqualified conveys the meaning failing the test or being rejected. How can that be? Paul recognizes that the possibility of us failing to get the prize of the inheritance of our final salvation depends on our doing and not hearing. Are we doing what God has said in his word? Are we striving? Are we working out our salvation with fear and trembling? We don't earn it. But the Lord said, if you want to come after me, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to take up your cross and you're going to follow me. Are we followers of Christ? Are we his ambassadors? Do we represent him to the world? Are we aiming to please? Are we aiming to exercise self-control? A great definition of self-control is delayed gratification. If I control myself and I don't say what I'm thinking of saying because it'll hurt that person, I'm going to be gratified later that I didn't wound them. Because you can't take back your words. When I don't eat that and I really want it, I really crave it, but it is going to make me sick and compromise my immune system, and it would be indulgence, I don't need it. If I exercise self-control, I'm going to be a lot happier 30 minutes from now. Because I know it can put me in a carb coma, and it can make me shake, and it can make me have a compromised immune system. So you exercise self-control in all aspects of your life. What you put before your eyes, all of it, absolutely matters. We have to strive to keep our relationship with the Lord alive. Strive. Keep it alive. Be in his word. Trust him. Worship him. Obey him. Follow after him. Don't run from God. Run to God. I've said it, but somebody might have missed it. Don't run to the phone. run to the throne. Your friend doesn't know how to do their life. How could they know how to do yours? They can't figure out their own stuff. But he who made you and loves and adores you calls you friend. If you are spiritually hungry, aim for Jesus with all that is within you. When you are weary, who do you want to aim for? Okay. When you're worried, aim for Jesus. When you're lost, aim for Jesus. When your heart is broken and grieving, go after the Comforter, the Great I Am, the Prince of Peace. When you're lonely, get wrapped in the lover of lover's arms. Go after Jesus. Strive, press in, push on, run towards Jesus. When you're heavy-hearted, when you're guilt-ridden, run to the author and the finisher of your faith that will forgive you and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Who's your joy giver? Your peace giver? We have choices. We can aim to satisfy and gratify our flesh. Word of God tells us that if we sow to our flesh, we will reap destruction. If we sow to the spirit man that's connected with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we'll reap life and life abundant. So we're going to do a little self-examination. The word tells us to do this often. Examine yourself to see if you pass the test. It's really serious to me. I don't like doing church, never have. I like doing God and his people, but I don't like going through motions. I don't like faking it. I don't like not yielding and getting better. Do you want to get better? Do you want to grow in God's grace? Who has arrived? None of us. Put me at the top of the list. I'm always wanting to strive and go after more of God's grace. But it will take effort. Remember our definition of aiming. Do you desire God? Are you going in his direction, his ways? Are you following him intentionally, on purpose? Like you would when you go to sit on a chair. You're not going to just, oops, I missed it. Oh, what was the thing? No, you're going to make sure, and then you kind of maybe feel before you sit. You guys, that's just everyday intentional, on-purpose stuff, like no-brainer stuff. But you're not going to miss the chair for crying out loud, or you will be crying out loud. I remember one time it was dark, and I got up to use the bathroom, and I came back to bed. Tim was working graveyard shift, and I thought I'd made it to the bed, and I just put everything into sitting down, and I missed the bed. And my tailbone hit the floor. And like in the cartoons, I saw stars. It was horrible. Don't ever miss your bed or a chair. It's not a good thing. So you think about the intent. You think about how purposeful you're going to be when you get in your car, when you get out of it, when you go about your day-to-day, when you sit at the table to eat. You're not going to miss the seat. Don't miss what Father has. He wants you to come and sit with him. You have a direction. You're intentional. You have an objective. God, my objective is to serve you and none other, to let you be the master of my life, not to let my flesh master me. It is not a good master. Our flesh wants us to lose. Our flesh is screaming, feed me, feed me. You deny the flesh. Romans 8 says, when we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. Is anybody being intentional? Are you running like over here is please God? And so you're running with that kind of tenacity and fervor? Yes, and yes, pleasing God is at my heart's beat. Let's go after God. You purposeful? Is that your ambition? Is it your aspiration? Do you aspire to be more like Jesus in 20 minutes than you were earlier? At the end of this day, more grace. He will give grace to the humble, and the humble are those that say, I need you. I can't do this without you. Two hands and knees. I need you every hour. I need you every breath that I take, every moment that I am awake. I need you. That kind of intention. Look at his muscles. He buffeted his body and he made his physical body, but you bet his emotions are involved too. Intentionally, not letting all these distractions keep him from the prize. He's got the tape for crying out loud. He wins. That's the tenacity. Do you have a plan? Sometimes we need to plan ahead what we're going to do when that temptation comes a knocking. Because some of us, it's been knocking forever now, decades now. Keeps coming. Keep opening the door. Keep letting it in. Same old friend. Okay, we need to get intentional. The next time that comes knocking at my door, that enemy, that demon, that temptation, I've locked the door. I'm getting intentional. That thought, that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that resentment, that gossip, that malice and slander, it's going to come knocking today. Have you decided? Have you made a decision? I best not do that because the Word of God says to me, let go of bitterness, let go of wrath, let go of unforgiveness. Stop your jealousy. Stop looking at pornography. Stop it. Stop reading it. Stop watching it. How about some of those vices, chemicals, things that we do to self-medicate? Jesus says, you run to me with that kind of intention, with that kind of fervor, you're going to win. You're going to get me. You're going to get my grace. His grace is enough. Can I get an amen for God's grace? Colossians 3:2. Set your mind and keep it set. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Get heavenly perspective. It's not about this. This is just this. In all of eternity, it's just a little on the radar of eternity. As far as the east is from the west, we couldn't even, there's no connecting the dots on east to west. It just goes forever. That's eternity. And we're just a little, this little life. And then it's over. How intentional are you being? How much are you aiming at pleasing him, at following him, at loving him with all that is within you? Once again, Paul says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, is returning for a passionate bride. If you've come down this aisle, if you've come down an aisle in your life with somebody that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you don't want them to be less than passionate for you and you for them. He's not coming for lukewarm. He's not coming for lazy about it. Okay, stir up your faith today. Take the test. Where are you? Jesus Christ is not returning for church goers, pew or bench warmers, or even Bible thumpers. But Lord, I preached in your name. I taught Sunday school in your name. I sang in the choir for you. I told my neighbors all of, I invited them to the hymn sing, Lord. I gave to the poor. I never knew you. What? I never knew you. Depart from me. That should haunt us, folks. Could we do all of this and miss the mark, miss the goal, miss the prize? His word tells me I want intimacy. Into me, see. Intimacy in a marriage will produce offspring. When you are intimate with the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, your life will produce peace and love and joy and self-control and kindness and long suffering. Okay. That is what is produced out of a life. You'll be known by your works. You'll be known by your love. You'll be known by the fruit. Was there intimacy? And it's not that you were born just a nice person, because nice people don't know why they need God. It isn't what my character is, it's what the Spirit of God in me produces. Okay? It's not how nice I can be in one day, how long I can control myself before I blow it. It's what is produced by only God that I could never take credit for. Is that kind of joy you got right now? Is that the kind of love that you're loving somebody with? Because you don't have it. You don't even like them. But God is able to give you what you need by intimacy, by spending time in His Word and with Him. You will produce a love for the unloving and the unlovable. Write down 2 Peter 2 if you're taking notes, please. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. That passage is so chock full. It is so encouraging because it says God has given us by His grace everything that we need pertaining to holiness and godliness. And it gives us a list of what we can add, and then add this, and then add this, and add this. So if we are doing those things, He said, we won't lack because it's His grace. It's by God's grace. Are you aiming for grace today? Mark 8:34. Mark 8:34. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Anybody? Do you want to be His disciple? It's to be a follower of Christ. It's to represent Him to your world, to your family. I think most of us do. He said, if you want to be, this is Jesus talking. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to have to deny your flesh, your feelings that are fickle, your emotions that are all over the map. You're going to have to deny that, just like I did in the garden. I laid down my will, and I surrendered, and I said, not my will, Father, but thine be done. Jesus did that for you and me. He didn't want to. He denied His own will to follow the high call. Jesus has a call on every one of our lives to be His ambassador, to represent Him to your family, to your neighbors. He called you. He planned you. He knew the circle you would be in. He knew the trials. He knew your tests. He knew what it would take to form and shape you into the best representative. And you would use your heartaches to help others that go through heartaches. Your trials would become your testimony. All your messes would become a message for the gospel and for the glory of Jesus Christ. You got to surrender your will. He said you got to take up your cross. What's a cross? Well, that's being crucified. You can be crucified daily. People are going to say things, look at you, persecute you. And it's probably going to be people closest to you, FYI. Okay. Mock you. Roll their eyes. Persecution is getting closer and closer and closer to the US of A and where we live. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Buffet your body. Make it your slave. Be intentional. He says, you're going to need to follow me. He's got plenty of examples in His Word. The B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's all there. All right, I want you to close your eyes, please. Everybody could just bow their hearts and their eyes. I thought of doing this live, but that would be maybe a little awkward, so I'm going to have you do this with your eyes closed. But I want you to picture yourself standing up. So although you're sitting, you're picturing yourself standing up. Now I'm going to go over a little small list, and I want you to imagine yourself sitting down when you can no longer truthfully remain standing. So far, everybody, we're all standing, okay? But in your mind, sit down when you can no longer be truthful about what this list contains. Keep standing if you've conquered the following. I've conquered worry, Cheryl. I can keep standing. Or I had to sit down right there. I've conquered gossiping, so I can keep standing. Or did you have to sit down? I can still stand because I've conquered complaining. I had to sit down on that one. I'm still standing because I've even conquered arguing. When the Lord says, do everything without arguing and complaining. How about I can keep on standing because I never have an outburst of anger? When he says, let go of all anger and wrath. I can keep standing because I have conquered lust in my life. I don't lust for other people's things or possessions. I can keep standing because I no longer have bitterness in my life. I'm still standing, Cheryl. I don't have any jealousy. I've conquered that. I can still stand. I have no hatred. I don't have any unforgiveness. I'm not lazy at all. I can keep standing because I'm really giving it all I have. I have no gluttony. I have no self-centeredness. I no longer entertain pornography. I do not have any chemical dependencies that are trying to do what only Holy Spirit can do in my heart. I can still stand because my tongue is saved, no longer cursing and cussing, slandering and being malicious. Okay, eyes and hearts still bowed. I'm not still standing. I don't know about you, but in my heart, I could not stand that list. I'm sitting down. Now I want you to picture. I want you to picture a goal. And the goal is God's riches at Christ's expense. It is grace. If you will get a grace awakening today, you're not alone. You don't have to conquer that addiction. You don't have to get your mouth saved. You have to surrender your mouth. You have to surrender and say no the next time that temptation comes knocking. And I'm telling you, the first time is hard, but the second time isn't as hard, and the third time is hardly hard, and then they go away. I want you now to picture yourself rising up and running with your arms towards the prize of the grace of God. You are running towards the grace because his grace gives you everything you need pertaining to holiness and godliness. And that is to be set apart for Christ when we're holy. It's because we're just for him. My body's for him. My eyes are for him. My mouth is for him. My thoughts are for him. My intentions are for him. The words that I say, everything is pleasing because my goal and my aim is to win the eternal prize. He offers it to me, but he's not coming back for people that take it lightly, that shame it, that trample it. He says, you once knew the grace and you trample the grace of God. Don't be going there. And I don't believe you are because you're in this place of worship today. But I'm telling you, it's going to get darker and harder. You've got to get even more intentional, and you need to buffet the body and make it the slave. It is God's grace that will enable you and empower you to give 100% of your mind, those emotions, of your body, your physical temple, that houses the Most High God, my soul. That's who I am. And the Spirit. I want to give 100% to following you, Christ. Now I would like you to, if you are standing up on the inside because you want more of the grace of God, who drew salvation's plan. If you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if you are intentional, if you are aiming towards the prize and want a greater anointing, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Okay. Those of you who are standing, pastor is going to take some oil, and he is going to put oil symbolic of the Holy Spirit on you. And I knew the Lord said, leave a lot of margin this morning. Leave a lot of margin, because I want my kids to be in my presence and to get serious about running the race to win. This gentleman that we see up here would not win the race had he not intentionally buffeted his body and trained and trained and trained. And he says, as an athlete, they train to win. As a follower of Christ, are you training to lose? No. But our actions speak louder than our words. I'm not going to make you sing, I will surrender all. That's between you and him, because he doesn't want lip service. I don't want to make you say anything that you're not intentional about. But I do want to stir you up today. We don't know if we have next Sunday together, do we? We don't even know if we have tonight together. This world is shaking at best. And it's shaking because the dam of God's mercy is shaking to hold back judgment. But when that breaks, judgment is coming. And I want to be found running after him. This is not about earning your salvation. Don't hear me say that. Salvation is a free gift. But once you've received that gift, Romans 12 tells me, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing. That is your acceptable act of worship. Okay. I feel like I've had my spurs on today. But the word of God tells me in Hebrew that I'm supposed to spur you guys on towards love and good deeds, all the more as I see the day of his approach drawing nigh. And I'm seeing it. And if you have your ear on the track, you hear the train is coming. You hear it coming. You receive today this anointing. And then you preserve that and you fight the good fight of faith. You say no. You lay things at the altar. You get alone with Christ. You lock that door, whatever it takes. You get in your car. I have done that for decades. When you raise kids, you learn to get in your car, and that's your prayer closet. And I would go park across the street where I could see their lights were still on. And then I saw, Tim was home, of course, when those lights went out and they were in bed. But I would go across the street just to have some God time in my car with my Jesus. Let's pray. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? Well, there's light for a look at the Savior. And life, life, life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Not on your situation, not on your circumstance, not on your finances or your health. But turn your eyes upon Jesus, and you look full into the wonder of his grace. Look at his face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of the glory of God and the glory of his grace. His word shall not fail you. He promised. He promised. He promised. Believe him and all will be well. then you can go to a world that is dying. His perfect salvation to tell. But first you must turn your eyes upon Jesus and you must look full into his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. For when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. And while we do his goodwill, he abides with us still and with all that will trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows, hear me, are for those who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we're gonna sit at his feet, or we'll maybe walk by his side in the way. For what he says, we will do. And where he sends, we will go. We will never fear. We're just gonna trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. There is no other way but to be doers of the word.